Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear. And give us a portion from your throne, in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 48. The Word of God says in verse 2, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Beautiful for situation. Pastor Stevens did a remarkable message from this passage. He had used it as an application. We're going to look at it a little bit differently. But beautiful for situation. Beautiful for situation is talking about the elevation of the city. Beautiful for elevation. Beautiful in its position. It's the joy of the whole earth. Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the city of David. To the northern side was mountainous Moriah and the temple of God. And the whole city of the great king. What does this mean? See, the kingdom of God, the city of God, resides within the believer. And what this is saying is that where the believer is the city of God. Where the believer is, Christ is lifted up and He draws all men unto Him. Where the believer is, God is present. Where the believer is not, God has no manifestation. This is one thing we must remember as believers. Where the believer is, God has a manifestation. Oh yes, He is everywhere present, but as a spirit. But when the believer is there, He is everywhere present as a body, along with the spirit. God will frequently bring us into strange places and difficult situations. Sometimes it is to build us in those situations, and sometimes it is to build other people in those situations, and sometimes it is because we are needed there, because Christ is needed there. This is like that woman that I talked about a few weeks ago who was called to a garbage dump. Why? Because God wanted to torment her? No, certainly not. Because when Christ was lifted up in that place, that squalid place, He drew all men unto Himself. Realize something. If you are there, God is there. If you are there, God is there. And sometimes God will put you there in order to be there. God has no arms apart from you. He has no feet apart from your feet. Because we are the body of Christ. If you are there, God is there. This is Mount Zion, the city of David. The city of David is talking about the eternal reign. Christ is reigning where He is lifted up. If Christ is elevated, then Christ is reigning. What happens to believers is that Christ is not elevated, self is elevated, and Christ is not reigning. But if Christ is elevated, then Christ is reigning. And how does He reign? He reigns to the northern side. Mountainous Moriah. What is Mountainous Moriah? Mountainous Moriah is the promise. Calvary was its fulfillment. But here it's not referring to Calvary. Here it's referring to Mountainous Moriah. So the reign of Christ in the believer's life, the reign of Christ, when a believer enters into a situation, brings in the promise of God. What is the promise of God? The promise of God is the fullness and completeness of the nature of who He is and a manifestation of His will and His plan for your life, the lives of others, for the entire world. That's the promise of God. The promise of God is that Christ is going to bring in a manifestation and turn it into a practical reality in people's lives with a finished work. That's the promise of God. That's Mountainous Moriah. God will provide Himself a lamb. Oh, it seems like sometimes you are brought into a place and you're the sacrifice. I have to realize something. To the sides of the north, to the sides where the mountainous Moriah is, and the temple is there. What is the temple? You are the temple. Right? You are the temple. So the temple built on mountainous Moriah. That means that God's presence in my life, God's work in my life, the finished work in my life, is built upon the promise of God in my life. Upon the finished work in my life. Upon the plan of God in my life. Upon all His promises and upon all His character. And I am there. Why do things happen? So that in those things, Christ may reign. Why am I there? Why do people mistreat me? Why is it that I get persecuted? Why is it that I get attacked? So that Christ may reign to those who persecute or attack or mistreat. What happened? Christ's reign, in a practical sense, was established. How? Well, they flogged Him. They didn't believe Him. They spit in His face. And then they crucified Him. And this is how His reign was established. We're not any different. They may flog us. They may not believe us. They may spit in our face. They may persecute us. But in that, His reign is established. The believer is there so that Christ will have a manifestation. Why did these precious believers, like in China and these other countries that persecute them and throw them in prison, why does God allow that? So that Christ may reign in that situation. I don't wish that on anybody. I wouldn't want to be there myself. But for those precious believers who are there, it is because Christ is there in that situation. In that elevation of Himself. As they are in a circumstance that needs the Savior. I remember Richard Warmbrand, a story about Richard Warmbrand. A man was beating him while he was in prison, a guard. He was beating him. He would be taken for his daily beatings. And his guard was beating him very hard, and the guard started to get tired. And he said to Richard Warmbrand, "I'm getting so tired of beating you." And he sat down and he stopped beating him, and he basically gave him his life story. He said, "Every day I come in and I beat you." And then maybe you heard that, I think Pastor Scheller or somebody talked about this recently, right? And I beat my wife. Terrible. What a terrible life. This was this man's existence. Richard Warmbrand had a much richer life than this man. Although he was the one receiving the beating. Because he knew his Savior. This man, while he was a persecutor, was persecuted from within. And this is why he persecuted his wife, because he was persecuted from within. And Richard Warmbrand said to him, "You know, there's a better way. There's something else." In his book, the man got saved. What Pastor Scheller didn't mention is that the man ended up in prison also. Because he became a believer. And Richard Warmbrand met him in prison. He was a comfort to him then. If Christ is lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You're going to get into circumstances in your life that just don't seem fair. You've been there many times and you'll be there many times again. Know something. If Christ is lifted up, He draws all men unto Himself. He put you there so that He could have arms there. He put you there so He would have a voice that speaks. arms that hold, legs that move. He put you there so that He could bring His character to those who do not deserve it. The Word of God says, do not give evil for evil. Love them that persecute you. Love them that hate you. Why? Because then, beautiful for situation, beautiful in its elevation, is the kingdom of God. And it functions on the promise. And this is how we elevate God, because we function on the promise. If I don't live in the promises of God, then I can't elevate Him, because the world will beat me down. My circumstances will beat me down. The details of life, the job, people coming against me will beat me down. But I live in the promises of God, mountainous Moriah, and I am elevated. And there's a tabernacle that is revealed. And as the tabernacle is revealed, men go to the tabernacle. And what do they find there? They find the city of the great King. They enter into the kingdom. And they glorify God. Think about this for a moment. The missionaries and the believers who have glorified God the most in their lives, and now we read their stories in books. Those books were not there as they were going through the circumstances. Adoniram Judson's book did not exist as Adoniram Judson was in the Burmese prison. Hudson Taylor's book did not exist as Hudson Taylor was in China undergoing hardships. But now we read their books and people come to the Savior because of them. The kingdom is the issue. I think the thing that's a stumbling block for believers is that they think that this place is the issue. This is why so many believers have trouble with promises and trust and faith in God. This is why so many believers have trouble with prayer. How many believers really pray and believe that what they have prayed for will come to pass? Certainly many do, but certainly many do not. And some will actually pray, but they pray as a token. Okay, I'm supposed to pray, I prayed, but they have no expectation. They didn't pray. Prayer apart from expectation is not prayer. Prayer apart from expectation is appeasing your conscience, saying, I'm spiritual. No, I pray with an expectation. Why? Because mountainous Moriah is on the sides of the north. What are the sides of the north? In Revelation 21, the sides of the north are where the city of the great King is. The sides of the north is where the fullness of the kingdom is. The sides of the north are the fullness of the promise. This is why Satan attacked the sides of the north. He attacked the promise. He attacked the city. He attacked its elevation. What happens? If I allow him to attack it in my life, I am brought down. It is no longer elevated. But if it is elevated, then it is elevated first in my own heart. This is how I see God. Have you ever seen God? This is how you see Him. You elevate Him. I don't mean literally, but I mean in all things you can see Him. And I don't mean subjectively either. I mean with a confident assurance that He's in fact present. You can see Him. And this is how you do it. You elevate Him. And the first man who is drawn to Christ as He is elevated, as He is lifted up, is you. And then others will follow you there. The world needs a guide to the kingdom. They do. The world needs a guide to the kingdom. They need someone who will show them this is the road you take and this is how you get there. That's different than spreading the gospel. That's making a disciple. Elevate Christ in your circumstances and then you will see Him in your circumstances. People elevate their circumstances and they wonder why they don't see Christ. Elevate Him in your circumstances. If somebody is difficult, somebody persecutes you perhaps, attacks you, or just is unkind to you, elevate Christ in your circumstances and you will see Christ. Elevate your circumstances and you will see your circumstances. Beautiful for situation, beautiful in elevation. What beautiful. They're there, it's the concept there is fair and beautiful. There's a certain element of a romantic notion there. A drawing attraction and a love from the Father. And this is what you receive when you elevate Him. In John chapter 12 and verse 31, the Word of God says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." How? "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Do you realize that the warfare that you are in, and don't underestimate the warfare, do you realize that the warfare that you are in is cast out by lifting Him up? Satan has no influence over me if I'm looking at the brazen serpent. Then I may be snakes and there may be snake bites, but I don't even know they are there. Then I don't see the heat when it comes. Why? Because I'm looking at the brazen serpent. And this is how I overcome the enemy. Right? I lift up my Savior. And in that warfare, He draws people to Himself as I lift up my Savior. You know what happens if I lift up the warfare and not my Savior? I'm drawn unto all men. What does that mean? I become a casualty. What do you lift up? Your circumstance, your preference, your natural affections? Do you lift up your doubts or your insecurities? What do you lift up? The 10 spies lifted up their insecurities and they died in the wilderness. But if I lift up the promise, I enter into the promised land. The only two who entered into the promised land, who were over 20 years old at the time, there were only two, were the two spies who lifted up the promise. What you lift up in your life is what you will enter and what you will see. That is what you will pursue, because that's what you're watching. Lift up the Savior. Lift up His faithfulness. Lift up His love for you. Lift up His kindness towards you. Lift up His promises towards you. Lift up His heart towards you. In all things, lift these things up. Why? Because then you will enter into those things.